Either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
I like him already.
Now you wanna get nuts? Come on!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Producer, director, writer. He is the ultimate filmmaker and bona fide foodie. You're listening to The Quiddituzz Factor with Michael J. Arbouet.
Hello, my friends. Greetings, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Quiddituzz Factor. I am your host, Michael J. Arbouet. That word, quiddituzz, what does it mean? Adriana, please give them the definition.
Quiditas, Latin, the whatness of a thing, the essential nature of something, the quality that makes a thing what it is.
Yes, quiditas is the whatness or essence of a thing or person. And it's been a while, my friends. I have been gone for about 2 months because it's just been crazy. You know, the last time we spoke, it was in early May. And that was just around the time that my daughter was graduating from high school and my other daughter was graduating from middle school. So lots have been happening and I've been very thankful and grateful for that. And so now they're both starting new chapters in their lives. And I started to realize that we should always take some time for family and we should always take some time out to be grateful and thankful for the things that we have. You know, sometimes we all need a little reminder to appreciate the good things in our lives. Typically, that time comes around Thanksgiving. Everybody remembers that, or Christmas. But develop an attitude of gratitude. Say thank you to everyone you meet for everything they do for you. I am so thankful for my friends and my family. I can't even tell you how they've helped me over the past couple of months. I've been so stressed out about certain things in my life, and they've been there for me. And I'm just so, so thankful for everything they do. And so that's what you should do. You should always take a moment to be thankful for everything that you have. Be thankful the fact that you can see the beautiful world around you and hear the beautiful things that people say. Be thankful that you're able to be with your family when other people can't. You know, a lot of people don't end up praying in the morning, but you should definitely, if you believe in a higher power, pray or start each day being thankful for the things that you have. And that reminds me of a quote by my mentor, Tony Robbins. And that quote is this: when you are grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears. Isn't that true? I'll just say that again. When you are grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears. Think about that for a moment. And that reminds me of my next guest. My next guest is an actor. He's been in a bunch of things on Amazon and on television and parts here and there. But he's also had a lot of interesting things happen in his life. And I know that he's also thankful for everything that he has in his life. So please welcome to the show my friend, Keith Ross Nielsen. Keith, hey man, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being on the show. So Keith, I'd like to start the show with this question. When you were like 8 or 9 years old, did you know you wanted to be an actor or comedian? What was the dream back then?
I just wanted to play basketball, which I kind of did through college, and then 2 years overseas, and the plan was after I finished playing that I was going to get my master's and coach. But then when I was in college, those long lectures, you know, where they have like 400 people in a room and it's 90 minutes, it was just too hard to sit there. So I would crack jokes, not necessarily at the professors, not making fun of him, but just jokes within what he's talking about, you know, not at his expense. And then my friends would say, you know, you should try stand up. So I did. And then I was just hooked. And so then he just took another crazy turn.
It's funny. Life is always like that with those crazy turns. So what did you study in college?
I got my degree in exercise physiology, and then I got a minor in psych. The psych has come in handy, obviously, in show business, because half the business is crazy. So
so true. What school did you go to?
I went to University of Oregon, and then I finished at San Jose State because I was also a high jumper and I just got tired of jumping in the rain up in Oregon. So at that time when you transferred, you had to actually sit out for like, if you transferred to a school within your conference, you would have to sit out for 2 years. You could redshirt 1 year, but you'd actually lose a year. So it's not like it is now where you can just transfer school and immediately become eligible, which, by the way, just happened recently. I mean, it's amazing how it just changed from all the powers with the NCAA, and now the powers with the athletes, which is great. I mean, they can make money on Instagram. You know, screw the NCAA. They've been making billions of dollars for all these years at the expense of the athlete. So good for the athletes, you know. Yeah. But yeah, so San Jose State at that time, not now, was one of the top five track programs in the United States. So they were the best school at the time for me to transfer and still be on the West Coast. So that's how that worked out. That's how I went from university. But it's funny because whenever people say, where'd you go to college? I always say University of Oregon. Because it's got, you know, track wise and basketball wise, it's got a lot of, it's got some clout. They're always in the top five in track, and they make the NCAAs in basketball now. This year they didn't make it. It was the first time they hadn't made it in 10 years.
Wow, that's interesting. You were in a completely different path than I imagined. So after college, what was your first job?
Playing basketball. One year in South America and then 1 year in Asia.
Wow, that's really interesting. So how did you go from being a professional athlete to comedian and then eventually actor?
I just started doing it. Yeah, I think it was 85. And then by 87, I was on the road in Midland. And then by 89, I was 90, I was starting to headline, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, took me about 6 years to get the headliner. And then it took me about another three to get into all the good rooms and stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I noticed a lot of comedians making that transition to actor. I remember seeing Andrew Dice Clay play a bouncer in Caddyshack 2 and Sam Kinison doing a bunch of films like in the Police Academy and stuff like that. So what was your transition? How did you go now from comedian to actor?
Actually, I was getting acting stuff. I was getting paid. My first paid gigs in show business were actually commercials. Because when I first moved to LA, this is crazy. The day I moved to LA, I got an agent the same day.
Wow.
The first agent I walked into signed me, and she was my commercial agent till 2015 when I signed with a new agent finally. So she was my agent for like 85 to 15, 30 years. And I probably did, I think, about 10 national commercials with her. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought it was going to be easy. I thought, oh, this is great. I got an agent the first day. And then it took me forever to get a theatrical agent. And then I fired him. And then it took me another 10 years before I got another theatrical agent, which is my agent right now. Wow. So, it's kind of crazy how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I noticed a lot of comedians making that transition to actor. I remember seeing Andrew Dice Clay play a bouncer in Caddyshack 2 and Sam Kinison doing a bunch of films like in the Police Academy and stuff like that. So what was your transition? How did you go now from comedian to actor?
It's funny because I got a friend, Paul Dudridge. He used to be the second biggest comedy agent in England. Yeah, he used to be Ricky Gervais's agent, actually. Now he lives here and he does consulting and he's directed a couple of movies. And he actually told me he thinks I'm a better actor than a comedian, which is a really good compliment considering I've been doing comedy a lot longer than acting. I mean, I've been doing acting, but I've gotten paid a lot more doing comedy. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, you know, when I got married to my second wife in 2007, and then, you know, in 2010, when I started taking Kung Fu, having my new wife and then doing Kung Fu, both those things calmed me down, if that makes sense, and really chilled me out. So I think that made me a much more natural and better actor. Because I just don't care. It's like, you know, just learn your lines, show up, and just do it. You know, and I've been through classes. I was at the Beverly Hills Playhouse, which has a pretty good reputation, for 5 years. And then I took a class with this lady named Diane Castle, who's pretty famous. And she has a kind of a... So at the Playhouse, I kind of learned their kind of thing was, you know, if your method, do method. If you're natural, whatever works for you, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. And then their thing was to assign you a lot of acting scenes that you wouldn't get cast for. So you'd have to do a lot of stuff that was like out of your comfort zone. So that was good about that place. Diane's thing was she would take you and then she'd give you something. This is the stuff they're going to call you in for. So she would give you three or four scenes to work on. And then every day you were supposed to take two or three lines out of that scene. You lay in a quiet space and you just imagine everything you can about those lines in that scene. So like, for instance, if you know, you're playing a drunk, then you take a couple lines out of that and then imagine your living conditions, but you have a drinking problem. How does your house look? Is it a shithole? Is everything thrown everywhere because all you're doing is drinking all the time and sleeping? You know, have you lost your job? Are you a functioning alcoholic or are you just, you know, mm-hmm. two steps from being homeless? What kind of alcoholic are you? All that stuff. And then you got to, like, if you're a functioning alcoholic, then think about all the things that are the reasons you can be a functioning alcoholic, but you're still an alcoholic. So that was her kind of thing. So the training with them was, well, you can do anything, even though you might not be called in for it. So that gives you the confidence. Then this one's more the imagination. It's close to being, method is kind of like, take all the things you know in your life, and then you just put that into the scene. But what's genius about her is, no, you take everything you can use in your imagination and bring that into the scene. Because everything you have in your life is limited. But everything in your imagination is unlimited. Wow. So that really freed me up. So once I knew her system, I go, okay, if you just put the work in, then you can really do really amazing stuff. So like if I go, like I'm sitting here talking to you and I say, well, yeah, you know, I was living up in Boston and I took my Buick Oldsmobile and me and Teddy, we went down to Falmouth and then we drank all night. And then like at about 2 a.m, you know, when we're going to drive home, so there was this kid, Stevie, playing pool, right? And I threw him a couple bucks and said, take my car up to home for me. And then, of course, I wake up the next morning, had a hangover, and Steve was passed out in the car, so I had to drive. It's fucking snow, and I'm swerving all over. And 10 minutes later, I put the car into a telephone pole. Now, that's a scene from a mammoth play. But you tell me the difference between where you saw me, I was talking to you, and then I just went into that.
Right.
And you tell me the difference. Mm-hmm. So could you catch me acting there? Other than what I was just talking to you in this conversation, or did it just like sound like I'm talking to you in a conversation and I bleeded right over into a story about when I lived in Massachusetts and me and my friend went out drinking that night.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
So when you can do that, then you're not acting, you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And they can't catch you acting because you're doing it right. Now, I haven't done that scene in probably... That was 2012. That's 10 years ago I last did that scene. But I just probably did it pretty close. I would say that's 90% the word perfect. But it's the basic gist of it. Yeah. And that's like a scene out of, that's 10 pages of a mammoth play. And I just did like a page and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. But see, that's like a year of working on that 10-page scene. Mm-hmm. Wow. An hour a day. So that's like, you know, so everybody has their process. I mean, Hopkins, he takes a script, he decides to do it. Then he goes, he takes one of his cars and he goes on Route 66 and stays in shitty hotels for a month. And then he just, every day, he reads that script. And he reads the script like 150 times. Imagine reading a 110-page script 150 times. By the time he gets to the 150 time, he pretty much knows that script. Yeah. Backwards, forwards, sideways, whatever you want to call it. And then whatever he's doing in his imagination. And Harris says when he gets ready to do a movie, he does 8 hours of imagination every day for a month. Wow. So that's you know, Jessica Lange gets in the tub, shuts the door, and her kids know, don't bother her when she's in the bathtub for 4 hours because she's in there doing her thing.
Keith, here's a question for you. You've been acting for a while now. What's your preferred medium, acting in television, theater, or film?
Well, obviously movies is the best because it's the bigger screen. And when they do movies, you know, unless you're doing an independent where they're doing it fast, you know, because they'd only have so much money. But it's like if you were doing a studio movie or something, obviously you'd rather do movies because they take more time with each, you know, they may shoot two pages that day and that's it. You know, whereas in TV, you could shoot 6 or 7 pages in a day. So TV, they work faster. You got to work faster. You got to be ready to go. So that movies is more, I think what did Walter Matthau said, TV is ping pong, movies is tennis.
Wow, that's a good analogy. Wow.
But I don't know, man, because now, you know, you know, when you look at the technical side of cameras and editors and all the shit they do now, you would say the people that behind the camera are making amazing stuff because, you know, they do these Marvel and all these stuff. But if you're looking for really good acting and people cutting their teeth, now you go to Netflix or some of these shows they have on TV. The TV shows now, I mean, they're really good shows. There's so many really good shows now with really good acting on TV. Yeah. You know, it's especially on like Netflix or Amazon. They got some shows on there. I mean, I just watched 3 seasons of Ozark. I watched Narcos Mexico. It's just amazing.
Now, Keith, you have an interesting story that I'm looking at my notes and I forgot to ask this. So I'm going to jump back a little bit and go back to your professional athlete days, or is this current? I'm actually not sure, but you hold the high jump record for the past 7 years. Is that correct? Tell me in the audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, because I was a high jumper in college. And then when you turn 30, you can do what they call a master's. So it's like little kids, you know, they do age group swimming. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing for old people, mm-hmm. and they do it in 5-year increments. So you know, if you were in 30, you'd be in the 30 to 34. And then when you turn 35, you'd be 35 to 39. Then you'd be 40 to 44, 45 to, like that. So mm-hmm. yeah, in my age group in 2000, I got the record and then I held it for 7 years. And then I won a couple, I won 2 outdoor nationals and 1 indoor, and then I went to the Worlds once and I got 2nd, which is really pisses me off because the reason I got 2nd is I had 1 more miss in the competition than the other guy. Because when we went out at the exact same height and he beat me on misses. So to this day, it just annoys what was really great, that was 98, and Nike did that World Championships. So the entry fee was cost a little more, but the medals are like huge.
Wow.
They're like 3 times bigger than like the gold medals you get in the Olympics. So I would have loved to have that gold. You know, in Kung Fu, one thing we always talk about is precision. You know, and do things low, do things slow into perfection, because from slowness comes speed, from softness comes strength. So it just goes to show you that one miss cost me.
I mean, don't beat yourself up, Keith. I mean, getting 2nd in silver is amazing. You know, even though you missed gold by just a fraction of an inch or something, it's still an amazing accomplishment. So now I want to talk about a show that you have on Amazon Prime. Tell me a little bit about that project.
That's actually my friend's show, although I, well, it's kind of my show because I wrote it and I did have an executive producer credit. It's not called Not For Nothing. That's, we just did 8 episodes. So he's trying to rework it, I guess, with another deal, but we'll see what happens. But it's like basically 3 comics. They're trying to make it in LA. And so this one club they're getting spots at is, it's run from it's these guys that are in the witness protection program are running the room, but they're not really supposed to be running the room. So, but they're like, they're mafia guys, but they're in the witness protection program, but their parole guys don't know they're running a comedy club. So of course they're doing nefarious things out of the comedy club. And then these guys end up doing nefarious things so they can get time to perform in the club. So they get dug, literally they're digging themselves into a hole by doing these nefarious things. I guess that'd be the best way to say it. There's like 8 short episodes. I think each episode is 12 minutes. So it's basically 3 episodes, but they've broken them up into 8 12-minute episodes, I think, something like that.
And can you still see it on Amazon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I never watch. I don't know. I think it's still on Amazon. My buddy always talks about it. I don't watch. Once I do it, I'm kind of like Johnny Depp. Okay, I did my part. If somebody enjoys it, great. If they don't, yeah.
And there's another show you're working on as well on Amazon as well called Electives. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that's a crazy story because I had a deal. That show was like my favorite show. Like that was my baby. We did a pilot. We got a deal. And then my partner wouldn't take the deal.
Oh, wow.
Because, and this is, you're going to love this. The deal I was offered was with a black production company. And my agent, who's still my agent today, is black. Mm-hmm. And this person that I was partners with says, well, I'm not giving our show over to a black production company so they can replace all our white actors with black people. And I'm like, what? You know, the only color that matters here is green. But wow. She wouldn't do it. So I had to call my agent and tell her, hey, by the way, this isn't going to happen because my bonehead partner, turns out she's a racist.
Wow. So it's kind of a dead deal? It's not going to go anywhere?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, unless my partner goes and gets some kind of deal with somebody else. I once that happened, I was kind of done with her. She doesn't even know I'm mad at her because I just called my agent and said, hey, this is done. So, I mean, unless this comes out in the podcast, because one of the things I learned from that guy, the consultant guy, he says, reward good behavior, ignore bad. So, but I put most of I put $22,000 of my own money into that. So I was pretty pissed at the time. It took me about 3 years to get over that.
Wow.
Yeah. I was really upset. My bad on picking the wrong person as my partner, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, that's hard. Yeah.
That's the lesson I learned from that one. Be careful who you work with. Be very careful. Make sure you know them very well.
So true. Great advice. So now at the part of the show, Keith, where I like to find out what makes you you. That's what the Quiditas Factor is all about. So my first question for you is this. What's something that people seem to misunderstand about you?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would say now, before I met my second wife and I got into Kung Fu, I would say it would have been, why does this guy get mad? Right?
Mm-hmm.
But now I would say, you know that saying, don't misjudge kindness for weakness?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some people just think the kindness is weakness. That might be a thing, but it's not. It's from being with my wife and 10 years of no, I'm sorry, 12 years. It'll be 13 in January. The one thing I've learned 12 and a half years of Kung Fu is two things. One, if you're not there, there's no fight. Mm-hmm. And two, you never know. That's mm-hmm. the most important thing I've learned in Kung Fu. Not how to fight, but you never know. Say somebody starts a fight with me, right? And he totally started it. And I get in a fight. The cops are probably going to show up at some point. They're going to find out who you are. Now you're going to have to spend $3,000 to bail out and $1,000 for your first appearance in court. You better have that money in the bank, because otherwise you're going to get stuck with a public defender. And then what might happen to you in life could go either way, depending on how big that guy's stack is of cases. You don't want a public defender. You want somebody you can pay $1,000 to that can make this go away quick. And here's another thing most people don't understand. Cops are almost always going to charge you with a felony, even if it's a misdemeanor. Why? Because they want a good caller.
Wow.
So here's your best case scenario. You spend $4,000. They drop all the charges. You're out $4,000 because you couldn't figure a way out of how to avoid an asshole.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't want to spend $4,000.
Yeah.
And then here's the second part. And there's two sides to this sword. One side is this. I know where to hit people in really bad places. Okay. If they're bigger than me, you only have a few options because they're bigger. And those places you hit that person, one of those places will probably kill them. So you either get in a fight with a person that's bigger than you and you kill them, or they hit you and destroy you.
Tell me about somebody who touched your heart and how they changed your life for the better.
Ooh, great question. My wife, absolutely. Mm-hmm. 30 years of dating, nothing but. And then I met her, and she, I always tell her, I feel like I lived a life over here as one person, and now I'm living the life of a completely different person. Wow. Man, there's nothing better than being with somebody. Like if you're a woman being with a guy, if you're a guy being with a woman that lets you breathe and be yourself and accepts you for yourself and is a really good person. That's my wife. You know, you want to marry somebody that's empathetic and smarter than you. That's really important. And my wife is both of those things. That those kind of people will change your lives.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you could give advice to anybody who's trying to make it in this business, what would it be?
That's it. Reward good behavior, ignore bad. That's the best advice.
Wow.
Be on time. Oh, here's the second one. And the same guy, Dudridge, told me this. All that matters is what you say between good evening and good night and action and cut. The rest of the time, keep your mouth shut, show up on time, be professional. Thank everybody, and then leave and go home.
Wow, that's good advice.
It's really good advice.
Wow.
Just let your work speak for you, and the rest of the time, let everybody else talk and just be quiet.
So I told you at the beginning of this show, the name of the show is called the Quiditas Factor. So Quiditas is such a weird Latin word that means the whatness or essence of a thing or person. But to make it easier on you, let's just say that Quiditas means magic power or superpower. What would your magic or superpower be? What's your Quiditas?
Ooh, boy, another good question. I think my heart now, because I had it before. But because I'm making, you know, if you're making bad decisions, you know, people always say the most important thing you decide is what you do for a living. But really, the most important thing you decide is who you're going to be with the rest of your life, because that person's affecting your life at least 8 hours a day. I mean, if you sleep 8 hours and they're at work 8 hours, you're still with them 8 hours a day. And if that person is negative or toxic, you are not going to pull them up to your level. They're going to drag you down to theirs.
Wow. Yeah, true.
Yeah. But if you get with a person like my wife, like for instance, then you can thrive.
Wow.
And you know what? For that, I would add on to that. People always think that IQ is the most important thing, how smart you are. EQ is more important than IQ. Your emotional intelligence is, because if you're really smart, but you're emotionally a wreck, then that IQ is not going to do you any good, because you're always going to be destroying whatever you were smart enough to create or do at work. Your emotional thing is going to, just like that person, it's going to pull you down.
And my final question of the day is this: what does the future hold for Keith Nelson?
All good. Because I'm very content in my life. We've got these 33 cats in our house, which is crazy, but it doesn't bother. I'm in a good relationship. My comedy's going great. So I've already won. I'm on cruise ships. I'm enjoying that. I'm having a good life now. I want my TV and film thing to kind of get a little bigger, but we'll work on that. We'll see. And it's all good. I mean, people like you on these podcasts, so it's great, man.
Keith, and for those listening in, how can they get in touch with you?
Please follow me on Instagram at Keith Ross Nelson.
Keith, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's fantastic.
Can you take us out?
You're listening to the Quintitas Factor, which, yes, this show is fantastic. Folks, tune in to it all the time. I'm Keith Ross Nelson. Dude, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Quintitas Factor. I'm your host, Michael J. Arbouet. Before I let you go, please check out my website at www.mikearbouet.com. That's MikeArbouet.com. And you can check out my shop. There you'll see a shop called Arbo Artifacts, where I have some t-shirts for sale that will help the show, as well as my wife's Etsy store, which is called Poem Jewelry Design. And Poem actually stands for Power of Each Moment. So please check out that store, because she sells a lot more than jewelry there, and it's really cool and amazing. And I'm not just saying that because I'm her husband. I'm saying it because it's true. And finally, if you can, please become a patron. Thank you for the people who are patrons so far. Thank you so much. And I hope to see everyone join if they can. And please join me every Tuesday for a new episode of the Quintitas Factor. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the Quintitas Factor with Michael J. Arbouet. We'll catch you next time.